Let's discuss today a few things. Let's first discuss about Megillas Eicha. The laying of Megillas Eicha on Tisha B'Av. Okay, we all know that there are five Megillas, and we lay in all five Megillas throughout the year. Pesach we lay in Shir HaShirim, Shavuos we lay in Rus, Sukkot we lay in Koheles, and Megillas Esther, of course, we lay in. We know on Purim, and now on Tisha B'Av we lay in Megillas Eicha. If you look at the Megillas, you'll notice they're all very different. They're all very, I'm talking about the Zmanim of when you lay in the Megillas. It's a very, very, very fascinating topic. The Chomesh Megillot, the five Megillas. On the one hand, they're part of the Ksuvim, they're part of Sifrei Kisuvim, but yet they're distinct. They stand out as being their own entity. Give you an example. There's a siman how to remember the Chof Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. The siman is Chanukah, the festival of Chanukah. What's Chanukah stand for? Ches, we have Ches Nun Vav Chof Hey. So what is Ches Vav Nun Chof Hey? What do they represent? Ches Nun is Ches Nevi'im. Eight books of prophets, Vav Kisuvim, Hey Megillot. That's in addition to the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So it doesn't mean anything. This simon does not mean anything in significant, but it just interesting is that the Chumash Megillot, Mitzad Echad, they're part of the Kisuvim, but Mitzad Sheini, they're not. They have a unique, distinct Mokaim as being separate. And the question is why? Why couldn't there be a Sefer called Sefer Rus, a Sefer of Esther, a Sefer of Eich? Why is it only a Megillah? What's this thing a Megillah? Megillah, it has this connotation, there's this sense that it's not so chashev. It's not something which is significant. Okay, let's hold that thought for a moment. We'll come back to that in a moment. But it's interesting that the zmanim of when we read these Megillos is very different. Let's first go to Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is read twice. It's read at night and it's read by day. And it's so important to read at night and by day, you make a bracha. You make a bracha at night and you make a bracha by day. I mean, that's pretty powerful stuff. To actually make a bracha b'shem u'malchus, no one disagrees. That's the takana, to lay in the Megillah at night and to lay in the Megillah by day. And then there's a big dilemma. What happens if a person can only hear the Megillah once? A person has to make a choice of if he'll only be able to listen to the Megillah either at night or by day, what is more important? Is it more important to hear the Megillah at night or by day? Not so simple. It's a big machloikis. You'll find many places that will tell you that the night is the ikar. And I think most hold that the night is not, the day is the ikar. And the night, it's a nice thing to do. We do it, and it's a halacha, but it does not have the same weight, does not carry the same weight like laying the Megillah by day. Because when we only read from the Torah by day. We never have, the only time we have Kriyas HaTorah at night is Simchas Torah, and believe me, all of the poskim are breaking their heads to figure out how is that permitted to lane at night on Simchas Torah, Kriyas HaTorah. So one of the big mysteries in halacha, how could that possibly be? There's no, in short, the minhag of the Simchas Torah is a modern day minhag. It's not more than 400 years old. 400 years ago, people did not have a right to make new halachas, no such thing. All of the halachas that have been established go back from Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that's the time of the end of the Nevi'im, the Gemar, the time of the Nevi'im, Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, they coincided with the Tkuf of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they established halacha, and they established Tulein, they established to all the rules, And they never, as far as we know, ever allowed a person to make a to lane Kriyas HaTorah at night. Reading is done by day. A Sefer Torah is sacred. You don't just take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh and do with it whatever you want. If you take, there are rules and there are guides. Unfortunately, today we become very, very lax in the severity of sanctity and the severity of the way we treat Sefer Torah. But you don't just open up an Aron HaKodesh and take out a Sefer Torah and start reading and making brachas. Certainly not at night. So how did it come about that? How did the world did it come about that? That 400 years ago, the Gedolei Yisrael, they basically created, they made a Yom Tov, we made a new Yom Tov, Simchas Shmini Atzeres. We turned it into Simchas Torah, Hakafas. New Hakafas you can do, but to take out a Sefer Torah and lane at night when the Hakafas are over, 3 Aliyos, 5 Aliyos, where does that come from? So believe me, everyone is breaking their head open to figure out how in the world that is permitted, where it comes from. You do it because that obviously is the custom for 400 years, and certainly the people who have established that it be done knew what they were doing, but it's a challenge. Now think about this. What about Megillah? What about Megillas Esther? Maybe that is the Makar. Why can't it be that Megillas Esther is the source for Simchas Torah learning Adam? Because Megillas Esther indeed is a precedent, a legal precedent, that you can read from a book, a holy sacred book. The Megillah is part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, and you, undisputed, you make a bracha b'shem u'malchus asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah savit sivanu likro es ha-Megillah al-mikro Megillah. So maybe that can be a source for the minhag of laning on Simchas Torah from a Sefer Torah. Because if Chazal did in fact allow a baracha to be made on the reading of a book on Purim, and Purim is all about Torah, La Yehudi Moisa Oira Simcha Sasan Vikar, so Simchas Torah, when we celebrate the Torah, it should be no different. You have such a precedent, and we can celebrate by making a bracha on the Sefer Torah and reading it with the Tzibur. That's my suggestion, to be a makar for the aged-old mystery in how did it happen that we can make a bracha on Simchas Torah. I believe it has to be rooted somehow in Purim, Lel Purim, when we lay in the Megillah. But Purim, in addition to laying the Megillah at night, you lay in it by day. Okay, that's standard. Okay, I mean that's the chiddush of Chazal, was that you should lay in the Megillah at night. That's a chiddush. Now let's now go to, before we come to Eichel, let's go to the other Megillahs. Rus, Shir HaShirim, and Koheles. Where does that come from? That's not cited anywhere. That's a minhag. And in fact, not everyone in Klal Yisrael has accepted this minhag. There are definitely kihilos where they don't do this. There are definitely kihilos. They don't lay in Rus. They don't lay in Koheles. They don't lay in Shir HaShirim. Today, we live in the global village. It's one size fits all. Uruba deruba, you're going to lane it. You're not going to get away with not laning it. When do you lane it? Shabbos. Shabbos chol hamoyed. And Rus, either the first day in Eretz Shol, and only, it's only one day, and Chutzar is the second day. It's a minhag. It appears to be a minhag. Our minhag is to read when? Is to read it on Shabbos chol hamoyed. What happens if you forgot? It happens, you have a shul, they just forgot. They forgot to lane Shir HaShirim. They forgot to lane Koheles. So they go, I think Rav Moshe has these people, they sent the shul to Rav Moshe, we forgot. Should we do it on the last day of Pesach? Should we do it on the last day of Sukkot? We just forgot. Went to shul. 100 people in shul, not everyone was paying attention. We let daven, then we Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Everyone's busy talking about the Chol HaMoed trip. And we forgot to lay in Shir HaShirim. And now it's Shvi Shol Pesach, or it's Acharon Shol Pesach. Should we lay in Shir HaShirim? Should we lay in Koheles on Shmini Atzeres when we forgot to lay in Koheles on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, when there, of course, is a Shabbos Chol HaMoed? Is the Zaman that has been designated for the reading of the Megillah, is it etched in stone that it must be read on Shabbos? So I believe,
Rabbi, good morning. According to the Hasidic minhag that they just learned from a Chumash, wherever, not from a klaf. So each one does it for himself, basically. So what would be the shaila at all? So you're just going to give him 10, 15 minutes, and everybody looks.
Okay. So maybe in a chayim. So yeah, that has to be part of the equation. What exactly is your custom? What exactly? Right. What exactly is the chomer hadav? What exactly? You have to, this will come to this. So Rav Moshe, if I remember correctly, Rav Moshe says that you can do it. If you forgot to do it, it's not etched in stone that it has to be bedafka on Shabbos. The zman of Shir HaShirim and Koheles is not the same thing like Megillas Esther. Let's go back to Megillas Esther itself. Megillas Esther said, what does it say in the Gemara, the Mishnah? The Megillah Nikres, Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Dalid, and Tezvav. Even Megillas Esther, the laning, the Zman, at night and by day, but not everyone lanes it on the same day. Some people lane it on the 11th of the month, some lane it on the 12th, some lane it on the 13th and 14th and 15th. The Gemara there says this. It's not. So you see that when it comes to the Megillah, even Megillas Esther, which is the king of all the Megillahs, because it gets a bracha l'chol hadeos, and you make a Shechayanu, it has all the milos Megillas Esther. You make a bracha, three brachas, night by day, two brachas. No, day you also make three brachas, right? You make a Shechayanu by day. You make a Shechayanu by day as well. At night and by day, you make the brachas. It's the king of all the Megillahs. Even Megillas Esther, it's not etched in stone when it should be read. It can be read on the 11th day, the 12th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, according to the Gemara. So you see, the Zman is not etched in stone. So certainly when it comes to Shir HaShirim Koheles, which is not, it's not even so clear that you're supposed to read it all together. Generally, you don't make a bracha. We'll come to that in a moment, but it's not the mitzvah hayoim. There's no mesechta called mesechta rus. There's no Masechta Koheles. It's not the mitzvah hayom to lane these things. If you're going to lane it, you're going to make a bracha, not make a bracha, that will come to a few moments. But it's not the mitzvah hayom. So certainly the Zman is, you can negotiate the Zman. Does not necessarily have to be read on Shabbos if you negotiate the Zman from Megillas Esther, so certainly you should be able to negotiate the Zman. Or maybe no. Maybe you're only supposed to lane it when you're supposed to. And I'll tell you why is Svar to say that like that. And this really touches upon all the Megillahs. Completely jumping ahead of myself is, all of the Megillahs are sad. All the Megillahs have in it an element of disappointment. There's something wrong in every Megillah. Megillah says there, it's a terrible tzara. Lahashmi laharugu la'abed. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but we mentioned is that Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hanan. Nothing changed. The Gemara says, after the Megillah is over, Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hanan. We are still today in 2020, Tavshin Pei, the slaves of Achashverosh. And the Gezera, Lahashmid, Laharug, Ulaabed, Eskol, Hayehudi, Minar, Biad, Zakein, Taf, Benoshim, Bien Echod, Ushtolom, Lavos, is still in effect. It has never been canceled. Mr. Cohen, could you go out, so open the door, David? So I think he's by the door. I think he's by the front door. I think so. The only thing that has changed today is that we have another letter that says that we are allowed to defend ourselves. That's it. But otherwise, nothing has changed. Achashverosh, I can't be mevatel l'gzeir. I'm sorry. Once the gzeir goes into effect, there's nothing I can do. I can't help you. The only thing I can do is I can write another letter which will say that the Jews have a right to stand up and defend themselves. But the first letter of Lahashmi Laharuk, it's still in effect. And because the Gemara says explicitly that today in 2020, Akate Avde Achashverosh Anandot, so it's a sad book. Megillas Rus is also a sad book. Vayihi bimei shefoit hashoftim, a generation where people were not behaving properly. There was poverty. There was famine. The end of the Megillah, Boaz dies. Boaz, he marries Ruth and Moviah, but he dies. She was a single mother. There's a lot of Musa, there's a lot of darkness in Megillah's Ruth as well. It's the Leda of Mashiach, but Mashiach has not yet come. There's another element which I forgot about Ruth. There's something very dark about Ruth. What was it about? What was it? I don't remember. The Goyal also, the Goyal, it's not a happy story. The story starts off on a very bad note of Ruth, of Naomi and her husband. They fled and they abandoned their brethren. They abandoned Klal Yisrael because of their wealth. There are different elements that are not pleasant about Megillah Shos. Look who's here, Abayisa. We have a special guest, David. David, can you see David over here on the screen? David, come close. Say hello to everyone. Say hello to the elders. We haven't seen you in a couple of months, 4 months. Shalom Aleichem. Dove, how are you? Say hello to the Olam. They're watching you. The Olam is watching you.
Shalom Aleichem.
As long as he wears the mask, we can keep him quiet.
Mayor says Shalom. Rav David is so good to see. After we finish, we'll talk to you, okay? David, will you stay for a second? Okay. After we'll talk. Okay, so we have over here Naomi. She abandons with her husband and her two sons. They leave Machlon B'chilion. They go and they leave Eretz Yisrael. It's a terrible thing to abandon Eretz Yisrael. And then when they come back, they're poor, they're destitute, and the Goyal refuses to redeem her. Boaz, he calls in the Goyal and he says to the Goyal, are you going to do what you're obligated to do? You're the closest relative. Marry her. No. Pen Ashris S, I've got his words. I don't want to marry Ross. No. She's a Moaviah. What are they gonna say about me? What are they gonna write about me in all the newspapers, the Haredi newspapers? It's not popular to get involved with a Moaviah. I don't want to go down in all the Haredi newspapers. I don't want to be banned. I don't want to get into trouble, so I'm not going to do it. But it's the right thing to do. I don't care. Penashchis es bonai. I've got these words. I don't want to get involved. There's a lot of dark things in Megillas Ruth that does not shed nice, does not present Klal Yisrael in a positive way. There's a very nice story there. Of chesed, kula chesed, the chesed that Boaz did with Ruth. He married her, and the birth of Mashiach. But when the story is over, Mashiach is not here. Mashiach is not. There are generations that have to pass until you first get to David. Forget about Mashiach, and from David, there's a dark side to it. Shir Hashirim, you know, is not a very pleasant sefer, contrary to popular belief. It's Kodesh Kodashim, but the story of Hishpati Eschem Benois Yerushalayim into Iruvim to Oru Es Ahava Ad Shetechbatz appears three times. Hashem says Mashiach ain't coming anytime soon, and don't force me to come. Hishpati Eschem Benois Yerushalayim. Im to iru v'im to oiru es ho'ahava ad she'techbatz. I'm not ready. Mashiach ain't coming anytime soon. Sit back and take and relax. And the psukim there talk about all the stories that I sinned to Hashem. My dodi and my dodi ran away from me because I was so nasty to him. And now I'm yearning he should come back. And he knocks on the door. I don't want to open up the door for him. Finally, when I get around to opening up the door, he's gone. Even though the expressions, the longing, the pang, the love is so intense, it's Kodesh Kodashim, but the storyline is not very pleasant. That's a fact. You're right, it's a contradiction. How could it be Kodesh Kodashim when the Pshuta Shel Mikra is not very pleasant? It represents our chata'im, our sins, and that's why Hashem has distanced himself from us, and we're yearning for him to come back, and every time he gets closer, we nachamol, we make another mistake, and he runs away again. And Hashem says to us three times, back off. I'm not coming. Hishpati Yeschem. I make a shavua. The shalosh shavuos. Satmar. Okay, the shalosh shavuos over here. This is not pashut. Okay. So we got over here a problem. We got over here, that is Megillas Rus. What else? Koheles, you need a psychologist for. When you finish Koheles, if you really listen to the Megillas Koheles and you pay attention, when Koheles is over, you need a team of psychologists to come in and to revive the people of the shul. It's very depressing. It's all about, the last paragraph is all about death, all about the futility of life. Havel, havelim, hakol ha'hovel. What's life all? What's the purpose of all this suffering and living in this world and all the frustration? What's this all about? Now, what about Eicha? Do I have to tell you that Eicha is not a pleasant sefer? Do I have to even mention to tell you that Eicha is not exactly a pleasant sefer? The reason why these five books have been extracted from Ksuvim and separated and given a title called the Megillah, it's just like, you know, it's not a book. It's because they're not welcome. They're not welcome. We're not happy to have you as part of us, because even though they're absolutely necessary for the survival of Klal Yisrael, Mashiach, Soif Tovar HaKol Nishma Es Elokim Yirov Yes Mitzvosof Shemar Kizeh Kol HaAdam, it's necessary, that lesson. And it's necessary, the Shir HaShirim, the Kodesh Kodashim. It's necessary. Megillas Esther is the revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us. And what about Eicha? In Eicha lies all the secrets. Okay, I don't, lies, even though Eicha is obviously a very Hashiveinu, Hashem Elech V'Nashu V'Chadei Shemen Kikedem, obviously there are extremely powerful lessons in Eicha, but because there's a dark side, a clear dark element to each one of these five books, they're Megillos. They're not something that we're proud of. Proud of it. It's Kodesh Kodashim, but there's something disturbing. And because there's something disturbing, it explains why the halacha, there's the dilemma we discussed. We're not going to go discuss this in detail now, but we're discussing this dilemma. Do you make a baracha on the Megillas? Now, Megillas says to for sure you make a bracha. But do you make a bracha on the other Megillas? And the poskim that say you make a bracha, we mentioned this last time, that you make it belachash. If you want to make the bracha, you make it quietly. Quiet? What does that mean, quietly? What are you talking about? Since when did you ever make a bracha quietly? What's going on over here? The answer is, you make the bracha because it's Kodesh, and you have to make a bracha when you read from a Sefer Kodesh, but you're not proud of it. Don't be proud to tell the world, we all are averos. You do it. You do what you got to do. You learn the lessons, but don't go too far. Don't be proud of the issues. That's why, again, the poskim, they talk about saying it, they come out of maskana to make the bracha belachash. Now let's go to Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha is also very unique, because the Iker Zman, the only Zman to lay Megillas Eicha, is when? At night. Megillas Esther, you lay by day. At night. Night and day. That's the halacha. No ands if or buts. Eicha is given to lay only at night. There is no halacha to lain Megillas Eicha by day. I know there are many shuls today that do lain Megillas Eicha by day, they do lain it. And some place they'll advertise on their site, we're going to be laning Megillas Eicha after davening from a klaf, the real deal. And you know, it's not so simple. You should do that. It's not so simple to advertise that you can learn in Megillas Eicha. There is no question that there are poskim that say that there is a minhag to do so. And they make it very clear that if you are in a shul where the minhag is to make a bracha on the Megillah at night, many shuls do that. I mean, I don't know many in Eretz Yisrael, not in America, but if you have a Megillas Eicha on parchment, and according to some opinions, you should make a bracha at night, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzvanu al mikra Megillah. It's very nice, if that's your custom. But one thing is for sure, nobody, li yoytze min haklal, no one says you should make a bracha on the Megillah by day. If you have a minhag to lay the Megillah by day in shul, very nice, go right ahead, it's a beautiful thing. Do it, but do not make a bracha. That is os bracha levatola. Ad kidei kach, I have over here, he writes over here a whole tshuva from one of the gedolei that if your minhag is to lay the Megillah by day in shul, do not lay it from klaf. Because if you lay it for klaf, you're putting yourself into a situation where really you should make a bracha. And you're not allowed to make a bracha. There's no takana to make a bracha on laying the Megillah by day. It's a minhag. When you're doing the minhag, don't make it worse. I'll give you the classic example of a special reading for Parsha Zohar for women by day. Rav Palm, every year, Rav Palm used to say the same thing, used to say, is that it's very common in almost every single shul that I know of. I mean, today, not so much morning today, because today the population has shrunk and there aren't too many young people around in this neighborhood. But it used to be, you go out into these communities where there are a lot of young couples and everyone has children. There's always going to be a special reading for Parsha Zohar for the Noshim. Come in the afternoon, come at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, right before Mincha. There's going to be a special reading. The women who can't come in the morning because they have little children, you can come down in the afternoon. Your husbands will stay home and watch your children. And you can come to shul to hear Parsha Zohar. Right? It's extremely common. So Rav Palm, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to make a machor. It's also, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go make a special lading for Noshem in the afternoon. I don't even say Mamsh also. He said he felt it's not the right thing because what are you doing? You're taking out a Sefer Torah from the Aron, and you're reading from the Sefer Torah in order to be mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa of remembering Amalek. Well, if you take out a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to take out a Sefer Torah to read from, to be mekayim a mitzvah, unless you have 10 men. Women do not make up men. So what? No problem. So we'll have 10 men. We'll have 10 men. They'll be there anyway in shul. There's a daf yom yishir. They'll stick around. And there'll be 100 women who will come. And there'll be 10 men lurking around there in the background. So we'll have 10 men in shul. In the women's section, 100 women. And we'll do it. No. If you have 10 men, now you're mechuyev to make a bracha. You got to give aliyas. Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach. You got to go call up aliyas. Okay, so we'll give aliyas. No! Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that in the middle of the day, 10 people get together whenever they want, they take out a Sefer Torah, and you call up Aliyah, Yamoi, so-and-so, we're going to lane for you. There's no such thing. You can't do that. You can't just go take out a Sefer Torah whenever you want and have 10 people and just start making brachas on a Sefer Torah. It doesn't work like that. So you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You have over here women who want to hear Kriya, they want to hear Parsha Zohar. So you want to do it from a Sefer Torah. So you're going to go, but you can't take out a Sefer Torah to be yoitzi, to read in order to be mekayim, a mitzvah, deraisa, without 10 people. That's not the way it works. So we'll have 10 men. But if you have 10 men, you have to now make a bracha. And you can't make a bracha because there is no takon. It's a bracha levatola. So whatever you do is no good. So you know what? The best thing is don't do anything. keep the Sefer Torah in the Aron, tell the women to stay home, and they can be yoytze the mitzvah de'oraisa of Zechiras Mechias HaMolek by reading it from the Chumash, because there's really no need to read from the Sefer Torah anyway. They're not even mechuyiv. It's not Sefer Shazman Gram. They're not mechuyiv in the reading, doing it. And if they want to do it, you can do it from a Chumash. So there's no need to go on this whole elaborate thing of taking out a Sefer Torah where you're really doing more harm than doing good. Now I can tell you that Rav Pam's opinion is a Das Yochid. There are definitely Rabbanim that hold like this. But Pukhazi Ma Amad Devar, look what goes on in the world. In every community they have these elaborate ceremonies because, you know, you have to have Judaism. You have to go and you have to promote Judaism. So if you can find a heter, maybe it's not so bad for certain people, certain communities. Megillas Eicha is the same thing. If you're going to take out a Megillah and read the Megillah from Klaf in the morning of Tisha B'Av, and there are 10 people in the room, and you're reading the Megillah in order to be Mis'abel and Churban Yerushalayim, you need to make a bracha. Now we, most of us anyway, don't make a bracha on Megillah Seicha. On all the Megillahs, we don't make a bracha, except Megillah Esther. But there are definitely people who do make brachas. There are definitely people who make a bracha on the Megillah at night. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzvanu al mikro Megillah. They have a klaf Megillah. They make a bracha. On Yerushalayim, Meret Yisrael, they make brachas. The Gra holds you should make a bracha. And the Gra, Yerushalayim, was reestablished by the Talmidei HaGra. And this minhag has spread far and wide in Yerushalayim, that when they lay in the Megillahs, they make brachas. Minhag Yerushalayim, rooted in the Talmidei HaGra, who established the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael after about whatever 400 years ago. They came there. The other people, they're not the only ones that were there, but they had a lot of influence, and that became a very popular custom in Yerushalayim, but not in Chutz Liaretz. But those who do it, if you're doing it, so you're making a bracha at night, but not by day. Oh, you don't make a bracha by day, so but let me at least lay in the Megillah from a klaf. No, if you're laying from a klaf in front of 10 people, you're getting yourself into the same shaila Rav Pam said about taking out a Sefer Torah for Parsha Zohar. So if you want to lay in the Megillah's Eich in public by day, lay in it by day publicly from a chumish, not from a Megillah al klaf. Isn't that an incredible chiddush? Unbelievable. Because I guarantee, if you just look carefully, today we become a very religious world, you look carefully, a lot of shuls advertise, come daven with us. We're going to read for you Megillas Eicha from a klaf after the kinois in the morning, or before the kinois on a klaf. And that's a milah. A milah. You should come to us. Who says that's a milah? Who says it's a milah? That's not the halacha. The halacha is you only in the Megillah at night. Megillah says to you lay it at night and by day with a bracha. Eicha, you only lay at night. The other Megillahs, you only lay by day. When do you lay them? I take that back now. We're going to come to those Megillahs in a few moments. The other Megillahs, our minhag primarily, is to lay it by day when? Shabbos. Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Not on Yom Tov. And Rus, you don't have a choice. Rus, you lay in Rus on Yom Tov itself. Do you make a bracha? You don't make a bracha. That depends upon your minhag. But Megillah Seicha, there is no minhag. There is no halacha to lay in it by day. It's at night. And if you make a bracha at night, but not by day, so now you want to go. You want to go be machmir. You're putting yourself in a very difficult situation, because when it comes to Rus, and it comes to Shir HaShirim, and it comes to Koheles, there is a minhag to make a bracha by day. But Megillas Eicha, you can't make a bracha by day. The only time you make the bracha is at night. That's not by day. So now to lay it by day, because that you only make the bracha once on the Megillah, at night. So now to do it by day again, you're putting yourself in a difficult situation. What are you going to do now? So don't lay it from a klaf. Oh, but there's a minhag to lay in the Megillas Eicha. Okay, so lay in the Megillas Eicha from a Chumash. But that's not what you're going to see on the signs. You're going to see on the signs many shuls, they're going to lay in Megillas Eicha by day from a klaf. And certainly at night, they're going to lay from a klaf, and they're going to make a bracha, and they're going to make a bracha. Those who have minhag to make a bracha. Now, there's another reason why you should not be laying Megillas Eicha by day. There's another reason. It's because it's an insult to Yirmiyah. The Iker Laning. What is the Iker Laning? Iker Laning by Tisha B'Av by day. It's the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Yirmiyah. That is the tone. That is the kinos. The kinos is an extension of the Haftorah of Yirmiyah. By laning Megillas Eicha by day.
Okay.
By laning Megillas Eicha by day, what you're doing is you're giving chashivos to something at the expense of someone else. At night, we lay the Megillas Eicha. That's it. That's the only game in town. Okay. That's the only game in town. By day, the reason why Chazal, let's try to analyze this. Why indeed did Chazal tell us lay Megillas Eicha at night? Why didn't they tell us we should lay Megillas Eicha by day? Just like on Purim, we lay at night the Megillah, and we lay by day the Megillah. So, Tisha B'Av should be no different. We should lay Megillas Eicha at night with the bracha, and we should lay Megillas Eicha by day with the bracha. Why should it be different than Purim? The answer is, on Tisha B'Av, Chazal gave us something else to lay with a bracha. That's much, much more potent, much more powerful. And it's not something that we're embarrassed of, to make the bracha in an undertone. And that is the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Tisha B'Av is in a class by itself. When do you ever have during the weekday that you lay in a unique Haftorah? We lay in the Haftorah on a tiny Sibur. Dir Shoshem B'Motzai, not by Shachris. Not by Shachris, by Mincha. The whole year, do you ever have a day when you have a Haftorah in the morning? Unheard of. You never have to. You have either it's Shabbos or it's Yom Tov. Daytime? Never. On Purim, do you take out the Haftarah of the Nevi'im and read from the Nevi'im? Read from the Nevi'im at Shachris? No. On a Tainis Tzibur, do you lean from the Haftarah at Shachris? No. By Mincha, but not by Shachris. The only day of the year that's not Yom Tov that you lean from, you lain Haftorah from the Nevi'im by Shachris is Tisha B'Av. And you make a lot of brachas. You make five brachas. Or you make four brachas. You make four brachas. You make three after. You don't make the last bracha. Allah Torah, Allah Abad. You guys, Mogin David is the last bracha. Mogin David is the last bracha. I don't know what they can do this year to figure out Mogin David, because Twitter said that Mogin David is banned. You heard about that? It's a symbol of hate. The Mogin David is a symbol of hate. They ban anyone that has on their account, Twitter account, the tzura of the Mogin David. This is viewed to be a symbol of hate. And your account is going to be shut down. Is that correct? Mayor, is that correct? Did you hear about this?
Yes.
That's correct, Rabbi Chol?
Yes, I've heard about it.
Isn't that shocking? The flag of Israel.
These days?
The flag of the state of Israel, the Magen David, is viewed as a symbol of hate. If you put a Palestinian flag on your Twitter account, oh, you're wonderful. You're a wonderful person. If you put the BLM image, oh, you're wonderful. But if you put the flag of the state of Israel, the Magen David, you're an angry person. You're a violent.
There's been a lot of protest, but I don't know if they've rescinded that as yet.
Shocking, huh? So this year, I don't know if we can make the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen David. You know, we have to be very sensitive.
You're a racist.
You're racist. We have to be very sensitive to these people. We have to be very sensitive. You know, Black Lives Matter. We have to be very, very sensitive. They'll call you out, they'll shut you down, they'll chase after you, and they'll ruin your life. I don't know if the shuls can say Magen David anymore.
They want to cancel the Jewish people, no?
You bet. Okay, so this is you make multiple brachas. Multiple brachas every morning when you make the Haftarah. And in fact, you make the ultimate bracha of Tzidik HaDin. There's another topic. You make the bracha of Tzidik HaDin. The Iker bracha of Tzidik HaDin is on the Nevi'im. So the point is, when Chazal have given us in the morning something to read that is head and shoulders greater, more potent than Megillah Seicha. And that is the words of Yirmiyah, Alma Avdo Ha'aretz. Al Asher Zavtem Es Torasi. And there's a very long Haftarah. It's not a short Haftarah. It's a whole Megillah there. It's a big, long Haftarah. It goes on and on and on. There's incredible stuff in that Haftarah. So what do you want to go do now? You want to put up a sign in the shul and say, come to us, because we're better people than everyone else. Because we're going to lane Eicha on Klaf after Kinnis. Do you realize doing that is a shocking thing to advertise that? Because it's like saying, it's like saying that on this day, the President of the United States is going to be davening in our shul. He's going to be here. He's going to be sitting there with Jared davening in our shul. And the president, he wants to see, what does Ivanka do here in shul? So he's coming to shul for Shabbos. He's going to spend the whole Shabbos morning here with the Secret Service, come early. It's going to be, it'll take you a half an hour to get into shul to pass security. And the whole community knows that the President of the United States is coming to our shul Shabbos morning. He's going to be here from before davening, for the shir before davening, all the way through the kiddush at the end of davening. The whole works. Even we'll go to the kiddush club. He's going to be the whole davening. The shul will be packed for Shabbos. You could only imagine. And then they send out an email, Erev Shabbos, Rabbosai, this is a special Shabbos. We have here, someone is coming to collect money. A Meshulach is coming from Eretz Yisrael to collect for a nice day. We have a Viera. What should we say? We have a guest. We have a guest is coming for Shabbos. You make up something. What kind of insult is that? The President of the United States of America is coming to be in your shul on Shabbos, and you make a big announcement, big signs telling you that there's going to be the janitor who wasn't feeling well. He was on vacation for 3 weeks because he had corona. He got better. So we're going to make a special mishaberach, a special welcome for our non-Jewish janitor who was coming back to serve in the synagogue after being out for 2 months. Are you crazy? What's happening? Over here, the President of the United States is coming. We're making the chief rabbi is coming. And you're making a big deal about the janitor who's coming? Out of your mind? Who is coming to shul Tisha B'Av morning? Yirmiyah! Yirmiyah wrote Megillas Eicha also, so let's not get carried away. But Yirmiyah, the Navi, in Sefer Yirmiyah, and we're going to make brachas. Ashabachar b'nevim tovim v'rasa v'divreihem. And then you're going to make three brachas afterwards. And now you're putting up a big sign. Come to our shul because we're going to be machmir and we're going to lay Megillas Eicha from Klaf. So it was special. No, you're not. You've just committed the most grand insult to what is the Iker. You've taken a tofel and you've made a tofel the Iker. The Iker Avoida of Tisha B'Av morning is Sefer Yirmiyah the Navi. That has a gold standard. The Megillos are things that we are ashamed of. They're Kodesh Kodashim, but there's a darkness. Chazal very cleverly told us, at night, Yelein Eicha, at night, with a bracha if you want, and by day, Yelein Yirmiyah, Sefer Yirmiyah. If there is such a thing as a minok to lay in the Megillas Eicha again, ma toivu ma noyim. But don't make the tofel into the ikur. Ad kidei kach, if you're going to learn it from a klaf, you're getting yourself involved in shilas. Maybe you should make a bracha. Okay, so you always have to look at what are your priorities? What are the ikarim? What is tofel? Now, here's an interesting shaila. This I found in the interesting shaila. What taka happens? There's no psak clear psak aloch. They have mamish divided down the line. What happens if you live in a community where the minig is to lain at night echa from klaf with a bracha? That's what your minig is. And then at night, let's say there's curfew, or let's say corona, whatever the situation is, there is going to be no davening in shul at night. Davening is canceled. Stay home, davening will be yechidus. But in the morning, we're going to have davening. There was a ma'ish in Yerushalayim, there was a war, one of the wars, and all the shuls were closed at night. And there were shuls, their custom was to lay in the Megillas Eicha from klaf with a bracha. And now they come in the morning. They come in the morning to shul. And now the shaila is, we didn't make lein eicha at night with the bracha. Can we now lein eicha in the morning by day with the bracha? We missed out. What's the law? What's the halacha? Ordinarily we make a bracha. We lein it with klaf, with a bracha. Now it's day. We did not do it at night. Is there tashlumin? It's still Tisha B'Av, it's still the day. And there is a minhag. You can't tell me there's no minhag because there definitely is a bona fide minhag to lein eicha by day. There is such a minhag. No question about it. There's a minhag to lein it by day, even b'tzibur. We want to go the extra step and lein it with a bracha. And lein it with klav, with like what we should have done at night. So this is a machloikes ha'poskim. I can't remember all the names of the Paiskim. You'll find 50% of the Paiskim will say yes. Yes. The Takana is to lay Megillas Eicha the correct way. Just because you missed the Zman at night, you can still do it by day. And others say no such thing. No such thing. Every Megillah has its time and place. Esther has its time and place. Eicha has its time and place. The other Chamish Megillahs have their time and place. There's no such thing. You can go and you can patch around. You can start shifting the bracha from here to there. Avar zman batel karbonai. Too little, too late. On the other hand, I'll give you just to add in is that this minute that we have to lain rus shirah shirim and koheles on Shabbos Chol Hamoed is not necessarily the original minhag. It seems that there was a minhag to lain Koheles, Rosh Shirashirim, Mitzoy Shabbos, the week before, even they broke it up 2 weeks before, half and half, before Yom Tov. Mitzoy Shabbos, before Shavuos, after davening, they would read half of Rosh, for 2 weeks. Koheles, this is before Pesach, for 2 weeks in a row, they would read half of Koheles. And 2 weeks in a row, they would read, I guess the beginning of the month, they would read Shirah Shirim. So you do see that originally, the minhag may indeed have been to lain it at night. And then they shifted to lain it by day, Shabbos Chol Hamoed. So look at that. There was a shift from one time to another time in laning. Okay, so these are the ideas. Let me just make sure I don't leave anything out. I wanted to review these soidais that we presented over here. These soidais. Okay, there's another very important soid about Megillas Eicha. Now Megillas Eicha, when it comes, let's say when it comes to Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, we all know there's a principle called Shomea Ka'ine. The Baal Kriya lanes, you listen, every single word, klaf. What about the other Megillahs? Rus, Shirah Shirim. The whole question, what is that all about? But obviously the fact that many people do indeed hold that we lane it with klaf and make a bracha, there's also a din of Shomea Ka'ine. Eicha is much more problematic. Now, our minhag today, I'm going to try to show you how a minhag evolved. Our minhag today is pretty much in most shuls, there's a reader. He reads Megillas Eicha. And in Eretz Yisrael, they read it from parchment and they make a bracha. This Shemea Ko'ine. That is problematic. Whoever said there is a din of Shemea Ko'ine on Megillas Eicha? Why? Megillas Eicha, there's a din of Bechia. Bochoi Sivke Balaila. That's in fact why we lay in Megillas Eicha at night. We lay in it at night, not by day, Meikar Adin, because Bochoi Sivke Balaila, it's a din of laying it at night. And what's the pasuk that says to lay in it at night? Bochoi Sivke. To cry. There's no such thing as Shemea Ko'ine on tears, on emotion. You have to express your own emotion. And that's why there are many kehilos where the minhag is not that they lain it with cloth and they make a bracha, but in fact, adrabba, every single person lanes it himself, reads it himself, because you cannot possibly have a din shamea ko'ine on bochoi sivke balayla. It's impossible. So I want to suggest to you this minhag, which I always found to be very interesting, and I think it has to come from this. I believe, I remember just thinking out loud with you, is when you go to Megillas Esther, there's only one person who reads the whole Megillah from beginning to end. Right, that's how it usually is. I know maybe there are exceptions, but usually, Kriyas to everything. I've always, when I was a child, go to different shuls, there's a minhag, I don't know if they still do this, is that they would break up Eicha amongst many people. I remember in the Young Israel, there are five parakim. They gave one parak to one person, another parak to another person, another parak to another, and they switched off. There were five people who read Megillas Eicha. Never one person. Broken up. And maybe in some place they break it up even more. Why? Why is Megillas Eicha different than Megillas Esther? And the answer I'm suggesting is because there's a very serious question if you can even have Shemea Ke'oine on Megillas Eicha, whose din is not a din of just reading the psukim, hearing the intellectual message of what it says, but the din is bochoi sivke. Therefore, if everyone gets to lane a little bit, maybe you didn't lane the whole Megillah, but you lane your pasuk, you lane your perek, you contributed, you had a chelek in bochoi sivke. Because you actually read a portion. Maybe you don't get to read the entire thing. Obviously, halacha l'maisa, we're very lenient, and we're very lenient. We're going to say that at the end of the day, we're going to say Shemea Ko'ina as well, because we don't have a choice. But at least a little bit to let everyone in shul contribute and lay in one pasuk so they can get a din in Bochoi Sivke. Okay, so that, I believe, is a very important thing. And of course, by the way, the reason why we lay in it at night is because that's when the Meraglim came back. The Iker part of Tisha B'Av, the major portion of Tisha B'Av is night, because the Meraglim came back on the eighth day of Chodesh Av. And they gave over their slanderous report towards the eighth day of Av, and then when the sun set, then the people took in the report and they cried, Balayla Hahu, on that night. And Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, right now it's the ninth of Av at night and you're crying for nothing. I promise you, Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to make this for you a Bechiyah L'Doros. Okay, David, it's disturbing. It's not going to be for you. Turn it off, okay? It's going to be a bechir, a bechir l'dayrais. Abdullah, you have to turn it over. It's going to be a bechir l'dayrais. I know it's feedback. You have to turn it off. It's a bechir. That's why since we are commemorating when the Meraglim returned, when it was and they returned on day 8 and the crying took place at night, the ikar portion of Tisha B'Av, which is a bechir l'dayrais, is at night. Okay, so this is this is an important a chelik of Tisha B'Av. It's the bechir l'dayrais. Okay, so let's make sure. I want to see. I got everything I wanted to point. I want to review, and then maybe in a few minutes we'll talk about something else. But Shabbos Chazoin. Okay, we did this good. Okay, another very important topic. This is another very critical issue. Are women chayiv in Megillas Eichon? Are women chayiv in Megillas Eichon? So, what would you say? No, why should we chayiv in Megillas Eichon? Are they chayiv in anything else? The Mitzvah says she has man grama. Wait, hold on a second. David, can you please turn it off? No, it's disturbing. It's disturbing me. The echo is disturbing me. Just turn it off, totally off. Bochay are noshim chayiv in Megillas Eicha. So the simple understanding is no. It's no different than the chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah. Are they chayiv in? They're not chayiv. However, it's not so simple. Are noshim chayiv to fast? Are they obligated to fast? They certainly are. Do the women have all of the restrictions that men have during the 9 days of bathing and eating meat and buying new possessions, which we make a shachriyanu? Of course, nashim are obligated in all of the restrictions of men. They are in the same category of avelos. The laning of Megillas Eicha is not necessarily a din of Kriyas HaTorah. It's a chelik of the avelos, of the mourning. Just as we mourn, you don't wear leather shoes, and you don't eat, and you don't drink, and you don't do all of the restrictions. Reading Megillas Eicha has another dimension of avelos. It's part of the Avelos. The third parak of Megillas Eicha is a eulogy on Yoshiyahu. A eulogy on the fact that Mashiach did not, Yoshiyahu could have been Mashiach. And something went wrong. It's a eulogy on Yoshiyahu, on the loss of Mashiach. There's a lot of heavy, heavy weight topics that are covered in Megillas Eicha that are a portion of the avelus of the day. Noshim have a full-fledged obligation to be misabel on the Churban Yerushalayim. It's not just a reading. Kriyas HaTorah is a din of Talmud Torah. When you go to Shulon Shabbos and they learn from the Torah, what are you doing? You're engaging in the ultimate, purest form of Talmud Torah. The Salmud Torah Keneged Kula. Noshim are potter. They're potter from Talmud Torah. That's the halacha. They're not exempt. Why? Vishnamtam is a gzeris hakasav. Vishnamtam livonecha v'lebinoisecha. Oh, but they are chayav. They're chayav to know what they need to know, whatever. Not going into that whole topic now. But on a regular Shabbos, all of the kriyos, more or less, are a chelik of Talmud Torah. Megillas Esther. Obviously, they're chayev in because Megillas Esther is persume nisa. Af hein hoyu be'oisoy hanes. Now, there's no such thing, Rabbi Isai, as af hein hoyu be'oisoy hachurbin. Okay, there's no such principle like that. You'll say, oh, just like af hein hoyu be'oisoy hanes, Achashverosh and Haman wanted to destroy the women, so that's why they were saved. Af hein hoyu be'oisoy hanes. So say too, af hein hoyu be'oisoy hachurbin. The women were killed and they died. And they suffer with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Guess what? There's no such principle. There's no such halacha. Af hein hayu ba'isai hachurban. So that's not a reason why they should be obligated. Is it because of educational purposes they should know our Jewish history? Well, that is in the category of Talmud Torah. Noshim are exempt from Talmud Torah. So there's no Talmud Torah. There's no Af Hin Hoyu Ba'isach Korban. There's no Nes, that's for sure. So why then should they be chayiv? And that's in fact the attitude that many women take. They're not chayiv. They don't go to shul at night. I mean, so many do, but many who don't look at me. I'm not going to shul, too bad. I'm not going to shul. So read Megillah Seicha yourself. I'm not interested. That's the attitude probably most women take. But it's not so poshut. Because Megillah Seicha, the same way the Noshim are obligated to observe the laws of fasting and everything which goes along with it, Eicha is an expression of Avelos. Just like we just said before, it's not necessarily can you apply the principle of Shemea Ka'oine on Bochoy Sifke Balaila. It's Avelos, Noshim are Chayiv, and it's an outgrowth of the Avelos. And that would make them obligated to read the Megillah from a Chumash on the night of Tisha B'Av at home, or come to Shul and listen to someone say Shemea Ka'oine to the very least. Okay, so this is another idea. Obviously, there's the melody that we lay in Eicha is a very powerful nigun. I wonder, as part of the Messiah, must be Misinai, this melody of how we lay, See, it's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? On Purim, we lay the Megillah in a certain melody. By the way, many say that the melody of the experts, the melody of the laying from the Megillah Esther has a small resemblance to the melody of Eicha. And then there are two psukim of that we lay in the melody of Evel Gadol Yehudim. Right? There are certain parts of the Megillah that we lay like Megillah Eicha. But it's not fair, because Megillah Eicha does not return the favor. No part of Megillah Eicha do we get to lane a happy melody. It's all a sad melody. You would say, you know, be a little gracious. If on Purim we acknowledge Megillah Eicha and we sang a pasuk in Megillah Eicha, so return us the favor. On Tisha B'Av, you know, maybe sing a little song, a little jingle. No, just to lighten the mood. But Megillas Eicha is not so generous to repay the favor and give acknowledgement to Purim, at least not openly, in the laning of the Megillah. All right, so what do we have over here? I want to just chaz over here and very summarize everything that we have just learned very quickly. It's a big, big topic. Also, by the way, Megillas Eicha in Chazal is called Kinois. It's called Megillas. Safe is called Megillas Kinois. It's not called Eicha. It's the Megillah of Lamentations. Megillas Kinois. That's how really it's referred to. It's the Eicha Kinois. It's the main Kinois. People say that at night, we don't say Kinois at night. We say five Kinois in the book. In the Sefer Kinois, divided by number. So there are 45 Kinois. We get up to Vav. By Tisha B'Av day, we start with Kina Vav. At night, we don't really say four. We don't really say five. We say four. Only Mitzvah Shabbos. Only when it's Mitzvah Shabbos do you say there's one more that you really have. Whatever. There are a total of 45 Kinois max. And Shoyman we repeat twice. So even though in the book it says there are 46, it's not really 46 because there's one we cheat. There's one Kina that we say twice. Shoimron we say at night, and we say at night, and we say by day again. But at night, the truth is we say kinois at night. And not only do we say kinois, we say the ikar kinois. The ikar kinois is Megillas Eicha. It's called in Chazal Megillas Kinois. At night, that's the main kinois, the Megillah. By day, we don't say, we read the Haftarah of Yirmiyah. And then we have a book, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. There are a total of 45 kinois. Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir composed 26. And we're brainwashed, we're Ashkenaz. Nusach Ashkenaz. But there are other parts of the world, they have a whole different set of kinois. Ashkenaz kinois are 45. and 26 of the 45 were composed by Rebbe Eliezer HaKalir, and that's our kinnis. So let's review over here all of the yesodos we learned today, very, very quickly. There are five of David. There are five megillos. They're megillos. They're apart from the ksuvim. Why are they apart? It's because there's a dark side to these holy books that disturbs us. And we have to show that we're disturbed with our sins. They are chatoim. We have to show that we're concerned. They're apart. Do you make a bracha on all the megillos? Well, obviously, Megillas Esther, yes, at night and by day. Megillas, but yet even though we make it at night and by day, it's not a set time. It's not a set time. That itself is a powerful lesson. Something that's problematic, you don't want to hold down the time. Megillas Esther is not a happy book. Akate Avde Achashver Shanan. And when something is not happy, you don't want to fix it in a permanent place. And therefore, sometimes you lay it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Hezvav. It's not etched in stone, because when it's disturbing, you don't want to give it chashivas. Eicha, we make a bracha at night. Anniversary, bochoy tifke balayla, but not by day, because by day we have something else to read. The only time we'll read a real Navi, the Navi by day, Yirmiyah. When you're reading the Navi, you don't go read from Ksuvim. It's an insult. It's an insult to Sefer Nevi'im. Night, not by day. If you forget to make a bracha at night, or you don't daven in shul night, you do it by day. It's machlokes haposkim. Is it in Shemeya Ka'ine by Megillas Eicha? Not necessarily, because there's a din by the Megillah of Bochoy Sifke Ba Laila. Bochoy Sifke of crying. Can you really have a Shemeya Ka'ine by Bechia? Not so simple. Are Noshim Chayiv? Perhaps they are, because Megillas Eicha, in addition to, it's not just a din of Talmud Torah, it's a din of the Avelos. What else do we say in the beginning? We compare Megillas Eicha. What else do we say? I forgot what else we said. Okay, by making a bracha, do you make a bracha? So you make a bracha. So there are different hungry to make a bracha. If you do make a bracha, but by day, you definitely do not make a bracha, and that creates this shaila. If you want to follow the minhag to lane the Eicha by day, if you're going to lane it from klaf, you're putting yourself in a situation where maybe you really are required to make a bracha. Obviously, that's not the minhag. The minhag is people who lane from klaf have no problem laning from klaf without making a bracha. Okay, I think that pretty much summarizes very short what I wanted to say about Megillas Eicha, by making the bracha. Okay, and next week, Rabbosai, what we're going to do next week is next week, in Yiratz Hashem, we have 3 days before Tisha B'Av, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tisha B'Av is Wednesday night, so I would like to spend those 3 days reviewing the kinos, whatever time we have. We'll learn in the morning, maybe we'll learn a little bit less Nach in the morning. We'll learn in the morning, we'll continue in Tzafania, and then we will probably look a little shorter.
Why give up the Shiach for kinos?
You're saying what you have suggested is that when Mashiach will come, they're going to take all the kinos and they're going to throw it in the garbage.
Oh, okay. Right? So we got to learn to change it.
Not necessarily so. People say that the reason why they used to sell kinos like pamphlets, Seamus. Not necessarily so. The kinos is full of secrets. Full of secrets, chidushim. So we're going to spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll spend some time learning the kinos. And also maybe a little bit of halacha. All right, that's it for today.
Thank you for being here. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Mi'etz Hashem, everyone. Tonight we have a shiur tonight in Sigur. Mi'etz Hashem. All the best. Be well.
Thanks
to you.
And we'd like to thank again our people from Montreal, Norman. And
have a good day, Rabbi Levine. Thank you.
You too. Be well. Be well. Take care.
Marcus, the father, the boys. Regards from Samantha. And welcome to Sender. We have a Sender for a while. And Rabbi Margolis, how are you doing?
Have a good day, Rabbi Levine.
Have a wonderful day.
And I really like Rabbi Leizer Horowitz, Leizer Betzion. What's your name? Baruch, right? Baruch Horowitz? Safta, right?
Baruch Svi.
Yeah, but you're not Safta.
There's a reason why I'm